morning as we kick off Explore Hour for this year. Had a little bit of a break over the summer. Some of you maybe took advantage of the book club that Reeve and Jake did on the Pilgrim's Progress, which is the first time we've done that. We will be doing more of that. I'll get to that a little later when we do the schedule. But it was fun to kind of do that book club and see that people are kind of interested in it. And it's something you can kind of read throughout the summer. And when you're here, attend the class and discuss. If not, you can continue to read it on your own. So that was exciting. But a little bit of a break for everybody, again, with being gone so much in and out. Good to have that break, and also good for all the teachers and facilitators of the classes. But we are excited to get started on another year of Explore Hour. So I want to pray for us, and then you're going to have some table discussion to start things off. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the Explore Hour and just the equipping that takes place during this important time, the relationships for some in this room that really have started from attending an Explore Hour class, getting to know some different people in a smaller setting. I thank you for all the teachers, for all those who have put so much time and effort into preparing lessons, looking over study guides and studying your word so that they can be better prepared to equip all of us for what you have for us in ministry. And we know we are all ministers of reconciliation. We have the message of reconciliation. We want to be better equipped to take that message out into every sphere where you have us, with every relationship that we have. And so again, Lord, as we look at this year, I hope and pray that the classes that are offered will do just that, will equip us and build us up in our faith, and also equip us for those conversations that we're going to have with the people that you have placed in our lives. So we give this time to you. We thank you, and we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so first thing that we're going to do, just kind of at your table, or if you're in the regular chairs, just kind of look around, talk to a couple people around you. But here's the question, because Explore Hour is Sunday school. It's just our creative way of saying Sunday school, right? So it is Sunday school because we are gathering a little bit earlier than the worship service, opening God's Word in multiple classrooms on multiple topics, multiple books of the Bible. So my question here with why Sunday school is you can kind of answer it a few different ways. Why should we do Sunday school? Maybe that's the way you're going to answer the question. Why do you want to be a part of Explore Hour and that Sunday school equipping that takes place? And so just kind of like, why would a church want to spend time and get people to prepare for these lessons and teach? So kind of read into that question what you want and answer it at your table or with a few people around you. I'll give you a couple minutes to do that. Sounds like conversation is dying down. All right, so hopefully you had some good discussion around, you know, why Sunday school is important, why we would spend the time doing this, why you attend a Sunday school, have in the past or intend to this year. But obviously for us, we believe in the importance of lifelong learning. Disciples are learners of Jesus. And so we want to continue learning because there's always something for us to learn from God's Word, something to challenge us. And one of the biggest reasons why we continue with Explore Hour and the way that we do is there are just things that we cannot touch in a sermon or even a sermon series with any sort of depth. But Explore Hour we can, because we can say, all right, we're going to spend 4 weeks doing this, we're going to spend 8 weeks doing this, we're going to spend 13 weeks doing this, and really diving into things that will probably pique your interest during a sermon. But again, we can't really go too far with that because the Sunday worship service is not the time or place for us to do that. But that's why we look at Explore Hour and say, all right, where can we really dive in, spend a lot of time here? Do we have people in our church with the expertise or the passion to teach these classes so that we're all better equipped in the things that interest us? And so, again, 9:15, Sunday mornings, most of the classes will take place in the upper level. Some of them will, there's one that's meeting in 208, which we'll talk about later. There might be one that meets in the library, depending on the time of year. And then we're going to use this room for a couple different classes this year because we're going to try and combine everybody together for at least one class, possibly two, this year. So that's a little bit, again, kind of the nuts and bolts of Explore Hour. But I want to give you the actual purpose. This is kind of what we talk about in Tour of the City as well as on the website. But here's the purpose. We provide a variety of classes during Explore Hour that will help enrich your understanding of the faith. These classes promote spiritual growth, theological and biblical insight, and ministry development.
all of which will help you to become a mature and equipped follower of Christ. And we do offer a couple classes kind of regularly, or at least on some sort of rotation. That is our membership class, which just finished up. We'll probably run another one in late fall. And then the spiritual gifts class. So these are not ones that we kind of know exactly when they're going to take place. It's kind of what works best for Brandon's schedule and when we have people interested in those. But those are things that we do run regularly for those that might be interested. We will obviously communicate those when that time comes. But that's the purpose of Explore Hour. Now, we're going to continue to talk a little bit before we dive into what classes are coming this year so that you can kind of start to think about which ones you want to be involved with. But I do have a couple questions for you to continue talking about at your table. We had a lot of different classes last year that were really exciting. We were able to really use some of the expertise of some of you in this room. That's going to continue this year. There's a couple very popular classes as far as how many people attended. Some of the room's getting pretty full. So one of the cool things that we've seen over the last year, actually the last 3 years, is Explore Hour has grown in attendance on average. And so we had weeks where we had a little over 90 in the Explore Hour classrooms, which is great, but it's also tight and hot. And so that's one reason why we need to kind of like look around and see what other spaces we can use or kind of gather all together down here. So if you were in any Explore Hour classes in the last couple of years, I would love if you just shared what was your favorite and why with those around you, so that people that maybe weren't here last year can kind of get a sense of what types of classes we've offered. And then the second one there is, has there ever been a Sunday school class that was foundational, meaning it really built your foundation on God's word, on your Christian faith, or was transformational? Maybe it was years after you came to faith in Jesus, but it transformed the way you viewed work, transformed the way you viewed your family, or something else. Kind of what was that class and why? So just a few more things to kind of have some good discussion around the importance of the ongoing equipping. And then we'll start to look at our Explore Hour classes for the year. So I'll give you a few minutes to do that. Heather, if you don't mind, I would love for you just kind of yell out a couple of classes. If you don't remember the exact title, that's fine. But if you remember kind of the theme of the class, the topics that were discussed, what were some of the classes that you mentioned as being one of your kind of favorites?
Parenting.
World religions. I'll try and say it. I'll try and say them here so you guys can hear. So world religions, parenting, heroes of the faith, which is Christians you should know.
Medical ethics with Dave Kim.
Yeah, kind of looking at medical ethics, which is something we can't always look at unless we have people with expertise in that. And so Dave was able to do that last year.
You are a theologian.
Titus 10. Yeah.
Christians you should know.
Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah.
Revival. Revival. That was our prayer one that we did.
Psalms.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned something. I got the air going on behind me.
Oh, yeah. Big words, the Bible.
Awesome. Well, yeah, again, you can kind of see from some of those, some of the things that we've done over the last couple of years. I think you guys got a good amount of them. We have some ongoing classes, which we'll talk about here in a second. But, all right, so we've talked about our purpose. What is the purpose of Explore Hour? Why do we do this? And so now we need to ask, like, how do we reach this goal of equipping others for the works of ministry that the Lord has for us? And so I want to talk through this because I think this is important. It's not something you're going to think about often. But it is very important to us, to me, as I look at the classes, look at the year ahead, look at where we've been, where we're going, to really make sure that we have a well-rounded Explore Hour. So that there's multiple things for you to choose from every year if you want to kind of get that more well-rounded experience in Explore Hour. So we have five tracks that help us make this happen. And what I can say about the tracks is we try to offer at least one in each track every semester. Okay. We definitely offer at least one in every track throughout an entire ministry year, but the goal is to try and get at least one offered each semester. So what are these five tracks, and why do we have them? What is their kind of, what makes them different? Okay, so the first one we have is the track of the well. So in John 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he is very much kind of introducing her, not only to himself, but to what the Christian faith is going to be. And the differences between what she was doing with her religion and what Jesus actually came to do. So one of the things Jesus says in John 4 is this. Or the woman says to him after he's explaining, one day you're not going to have to worship here. You're going to worship in spirit and truth, right? You don't have to go to this place to worship anymore. And she says in verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. What I read into that is Jesus is coming to teach. Jesus is coming to tell us, explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And so he is introducing her to himself, to what this Christian faith is going to be all about. So any class that we have that's the well is looking at an introduction to the Christian faith, an introduction to the church, or an introduction to kind of the basics of Christianity. And we're really just trying to help people kind of discover who Jesus is and then walk alongside them in that. So that's the well. And then I'm going to kind of talk through the classes this year and kind of where they fit in each one of these. If you have your Bibles, it would be helpful. We are going to flip to a few different passages. I should have said that before. If you look at Acts 17... Acts 17, we have our track of Berea, all right? Track of Berea. This is very much a Bible study class, and why would we choose to have a Berea class or a Berea track? If you look at Acts chapter 17, first look in verses 2 through 4. This is Paul in Thessalonica, and it says this in verse 2. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. And so here we see the common experience that people had when Paul came into a place. He went to the synagogue and he started to reason with them from the scriptures they had, the Old Testament, that this Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that came to fulfill everything that we're reading about. Now, in Thessalonica, it doesn't go so well for him. They end up kind of pulling together and kind of starting this riot and drag Jason, the one who's hosting them, out of his house, saying that these guys are turning the world upside down, and they're very upset about it. So now look at verse 10. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. So they're trying to get Paul and Silas out of there, because they know they're trying to cause trouble, and not Paul and Silas, but the people are. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Same exact thing. Thessalonica, he goes in Berea, I'm going to the synagogue. Verse 11, now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So Berea, the Bereans investigated scripture. They took what Paul said and they said, all right, we're going to see if this is true for ourselves. And what I love about this is not everybody then had this in their home. They couldn't just pull out their phone and pull up scripture, right? They had to do this together. So when Paul was there and he was saying, this is what it is, they all got together as a group and said, let's read it together and let's investigate and see if this is actually true. And so in our Berea track, that's what we want to do. We want to open God's word and see if what it says is true. What does God want us to know? And so we have our Berea classes. We always have a Berea class running. That's Explore the Bible. So that one's just kind of an ongoing one. You can jump in at any point. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Next, staying in Acts, we have Tyrannus. Look at Acts chapter 19. Paul is in Ephesus at this point, and look at verse 8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. And so what does Paul do? He sets up shop. He just starts a discipleship training program in Tyrannus for 2 years, making sure everybody who's around that wants to hear about this way, the way of Jesus, has that opportunity. And so there would have been a variety of things that would have come up in these times, of course, over 2 years. And so we believe there's a lot of training for personal ministry that would happen in this time. And so this is the class that we look at, your own personal ministry. When you think about outreach, when you think of discipleship and evangelism and leadership. So all of our classes in this track are really trying to take that kind of long approach to ministry training. That you are going to have things that you constantly need to hear, taught, and be equipped in, so that you are better equipped to go share the gospel with a friend of yours, to know world religions and the differences between Christianity and them. How do you disciple someone one-on-one? So those are the types of classes that you'd find in Tyrannus. Okay, that's the first three. Two more. Next one is the Areopagus. Let's go back to Acts 17 again. We're not going to read all of this, but Paul is in Athens at this point, and he is looking around. He's reasoning with the different philosophers and everything that are there, and they actually bring him to the Areopagus, right? And they want to hear from him on these religious things he's saying, because they were very interested in Athens to just hear all these new ideas. And so they invite Paul in, and he gives a very long kind of explanation of this unknown God that he saw a idol made to, that said an unknown God. And he decides to tell them all, I'll tell you who that unknown God is. It's actually God you can know. And he starts to talk to them about who God is from Scripture and then pointing them to Jesus. Now, in this instance, Paul would have been talking to people who were high-level academics. And so when we look at an Areopagus class, we're talking these are probably going to be a little bit more intense for some of us to be in these classes. And so just know it's probably going to stretch you a little bit. There's going to be some hard concepts and things, and that's a good thing. That really does equip us, but we want to make sure you're very aware of that heading into it. So a lot of theology type of classes and apologetics. Apologetics just meaning defending the faith. But sometimes those can get very complicated. And so we want you to know kind of when you're signing up for an Areopagus class, it's probably going to be pretty intense compared to some of the others. And then lastly, the portico. Look at Acts chapter 5. And verse 12, where we're seeing the early church movement in Acts. And right after the episode with Ananias and Sapphira, read this in verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. So they didn't have a building like this to meet as believers, as Christians. And so they would meet in Solomon's colonnade to be together, to just fellowship and to hear some teaching. And so there's some very practical conversations that would have been had between people at that point. So that's the way we look at the portico class. If you're looking for practical instruction on marriage, parenting, finances, these are the kinds of classes that will run in that portico track. Okay? So these five tracks, again, trying to be well-rounded, trying to give you plenty of opportunities to be in different types of classes if you want. Some of you are like, I just want to be in one track, and that's fine. Some of you are going to want to kind of dip your toe in many of these and see what they offer. So those are the five tracks. All the classes that we have will fit into one of those five. All right, so a couple quick things on teaching methods. Just so you know, we also will try to let you know if the class is more of a lecture-type class, if it's more of a video-based, video teaching class, or more of a discussion-based class. So we'll usually try and make a note in that so that you're aware of that. Some of you can't stand video teaching, and that's fine. So don't go to those classes. Some of you don't want to talk to the person next to you, and so you're not going to do discussion-based class. You want the lecture. And some of you don't want to hear somebody talk a lot. So pick whatever one you want. So I can't guarantee that we'll have all teaching methods going on at the same time, but there are some classes that we bought some curriculum for video teaching, or it's just more discussion-based because of the nature of the class. And definitely Areopagus is probably always going to be more lecture. There's just going to be a lot of stuff to kind of throw at you, but not to say there won't be discussion elements in these classes or a video brought in every once in a while, just the main teaching method would be one of these three. And then one note for parents and for all the students. We are going to have certain classes throughout the year that are just for students that Jake will be teaching along with the teaching team that he has. So starting next week, you guys will have your only a City Stew class while everybody else is meeting around. But then every so often, we're going to bring you guys back into being able to join any of the classes that we have going on upstairs, or if we meet all together down here. So just so you guys are aware of that, last year we tried a little bit a different thing with Explore Hour. So we're kind of doing this hybrid this year to kind of be very focused on the youth group for some classes. But if you were part of the class last year where the youth group was in it, I think you know how important intergenerational ministry is, and to see them in there. And there are some definite topics throughout the years that year that you guys are going to want to be a part of some of the classes that we're offering. So that's what that's going to look like. Jake will explain more of that to you guys when you get to that point. One of the things I will say real quick, we are going to have two classes this year that I think you guys are going to like. Counterfeit Gospels, which Shane is going to teach, and then a Holy Sexuality class, which I'll explain here a little bit later. So that's that. So let's get into the classes. Here are five tracks, and now I'm going to kind of let you know what we're having in each track. I'm going to have our little commercial opportunities here for those that are teaching this class to come up. Just give you a little teaser on what the class is going to be about so that as we get to these dates, you'll kind of have a better sense maybe which classes you'd like to attend. So you're going to see the class. You're going to see what dates it is. You can jot this down. I will make all this available on the website, or you could ask, and I can just let you know exactly what is happening and when. But let's go first here to the well. We are going to be looking at the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to ask Patrick to come on up.
Woo!
Yeah, Patrick.
Patrick will be teaching this class, as you see, January 5th through 19th. So just give us a little bit of what we can expect in the class.
I guess I'll preface by saying Christians do some weird stuff. If anybody's been in the church, we do some weird stuff. We drink Jesus' blood and eat his body. That's what he told us to do. And we dunk people in water, and we do all sorts of other manner things. Well, if you've been new to the church or you've been in the church in a while, that's really confusing. And what's more confusing is you can walk down a church down the street, and they'll do it completely differently, or that church over there. We have divisions and all sorts of stuff around us. So I think it's an important topic that we kind of need to discuss. So the ordinance class will be looking over those ordinances of the church, and we'll kind of be answering a couple questions of what do other churches do? You know, how was the history of that over time? Because we have this rich Christian history of traditions and ways to follow these. What does our church do specifically? So that's more of your knowledge of what we believe, why we choose to believe what we believe. And then we'll be looking really in depth at scripture of, you know, what it says literally, and then the interpretations, and you know, I'll probably tell you what I surmise out of it, and we'll talk to the pastors as well. So then we'll also be covering, so it's a three-week class. We'll be covering the first week is kind of what ordinances are. You also have heard them as sacraments, possibly. And some of the other church traditions, there's a lot more ordinances that they'll follow than we do. And then the next 2 weeks will be specifically on baptism and communion. And so that's because those are the big dividers and the big ones for us. So hope to have you there. Hope to enjoy.
Awesome.
Yeah, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick. Probably a good time to mention, too, most of these classes, except for the ongoing ones, the Women's Bible Study and Explore the Bible, most of these classes will switch at the same time. So the three-week class that Patrick is doing there, the other class running at that time will also be a three-week class so that you can then move on to the next one. So we try not to have too much where you have to make a decision and one starting before the other one ends. We try to get them as much as we can to end on the same week so that classes are always starting together. Try to do that. It's not perfect, but for the most part, that's the way it goes. The next one I'm going to mention, because Joe is on vacation, Life Explored. This is March 27th through June 8th. This is right after Easter. And so what we're looking at in this class, this is a video-based one, and this is very much for those who are new to Christianity, exploring Christianity, exploring big life questions. So if you've been a part of any of these before, Christianity Explored is a this is all part of the same series of curriculum from the Good Book Company. And so this is one of theirs, is looking at the big life questions that everybody asks, and really trying to get people to ask the question and then see how the Bible actually answers these questions. So are people looking for happiness and satisfaction? So this is the type of class that would benefit you because you have somebody in your life who's asking questions. And so you want to be equipped with how do I have a conversation with them. At the same time, it'd be a great class to bring somebody with that you're inviting to church. And we almost always have this type of class running right after Easter because we do have people searching who are here in Easter that maybe haven't been a part of a church for a while or are exploring the faith. And so would love to see some of you kind of just invite that person along to be a part of that class. We have really good discussions, again, because we got people who are mature in the faith and those who are very early in the faith or just exploring. And so those are our two well classes for the year. Next, we have Berea. I'll also just kind of share briefly about this one. Explore the Bible is ongoing. So starting next week, we run a 13-week or a whole quarter of Acts 13 through 28. That's going to be the focus in the fall. And we have multiple teachers that take us through this. So that's why I'm kind of doing it, because there's going to be probably four or five different people walking us through this curriculum. So why would you want to be a part of Explore the Bible? If you want to just do a quarter, a certain book of the Bible interests you, then I would encourage you to go and just spend that time in there. If you're kind of in between classes, not really sure what you want to do, and you want to kind of come in for a week, you could probably come in for a week and really benefit from it because it's just ongoing. And so you can always jump in at any point, and I'm sure you'll be able to pick up quickly in that. But again, Acts 13 through 28 will be the focus in the fall. And this is very much a discussion-based class, okay? So some stuff from the teacher, but also really digging into God's Word and studying it together. The other Berea class we have that's ongoing is Nancy's class, which is studying the book of Luke. And so I just want to kind of give a Nancy has something here that I was going to read because she's better at describing the class because I'm not a woman. I have never been in the class. So here's what she said. This ongoing study was born out of a desire to meet together with women to be discipled from Jesus in the Gospels. For fall 2024, we'll be continuing in our study of Luke, beginning with chapter 5, 17 through 26. As Jesus said in the Gospel of John that he could not do or say anything unless the Father gave him the words or direction, we want to follow Jesus by considering how Jesus related to the Father and to others, and how the Father related to him. And how we, being rooted in Jesus, can draw from that same source to speak and go about our days to the glory of the Father. Beginning with this portion of chapter 5, we're going to be exploring the questions raised by the Pharisees to Jesus' teaching of the good news. In class, we go about this by studying short passages at a time and follow the pray, read, ask, interpret, summarize, and engage format. If you're familiar with that, it's the acronym PRAISE, is kind of the way that you guys will follow in that class. And so starting next week, that is going to be in room 208, which is a kind of down from the library a little bit. Okay, so that's the women's Bible study that meets. And again, that's ongoing. So maybe another class is piquing your interest and you want to go to that class. And when that's done, you can just jump right back in to Nancy's class on Luke. So those are our two classes for Explore the Bible, or sorry, for the Berea track this year. Digging up the Bible, I'm going to come back to this one because this one's coming up here in a couple of weeks, September 29th, November 10th. Like I said, I'll come back to that one. And then views on Revelation. If I just said Revelation, you guys would all be there. So, because last year, I think when I asked for different types of classes, people wanted Revelation was one of the top ones, as it often is. At the start of the new year, we are going to be in Revelation for a sermon series. And so you probably heard Brandon already mention that. Some of what we've done in Joel and Daniel is really going to help us with some understanding of Revelation when we get there. So what we're going to do, as you can see, running the same time as the ordinances class, I will be taking everybody through kind of the major views of Revelation. How historically have people viewed Revelation? What type of literature is it? What are the different views on like the millennium and the tribulation and some of the different numbers and all that kind of stuff that we see in there? So if that's interesting to you, that class will kind of help you throughout the sermon series just kind of get a sense of, all right, this is kind of the way that some people have viewed this. Other people are on this path, and others are over here. And so that's kind of just like looking at those different views that there are on this. So it's going to be a very big picture type of class. You're going to see maybe some of the denominational differences in how people approach Revelation, but my hope is that it equips you with this kind of big picture, so as we're digging into Revelation more, you kind of understand why certain people have the view they do on Revelation. So that one will be, again, Areopagus, because it's very intense. Revelation is, and there's also a lot of disagreement on a lot of things in there. And so we're going to kind of just dive in feet first and see what comes out of it. So that's what we're going to do for the Revelation class. Then, April 27th through May 25th, Brandon is going to be doing a class, One Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. Of course he wrote that. It's a lot. One Holy Catholic Apostolic Church is meant to look at what denominations do we have, why do we have so many denominations, and what's the big difference? And so some of you had asked for a class like this last year, and so that's what he's going to look at, is just kind of saying, all right, we have 5 weeks to look at kind of these big branches of Christianity, and then how did we end up here with the views that we have? So kind of that big picture again, all the way to now. What is Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy? What is Protestantism? What's the difference between Lutheran and Presbyterian, Reformed, Independent Baptists? All sorts of different things. So you're going to look at a lot of different denominations and kind of see how these things all branched out. And so he's going to be leading that class again after Easter. All right, the Portico, November 17th through December 15th. This is Family Shepherds. This is a class for men. So we have the women's Bible study always going on. This one, it's going to be for men. So we're going to be looking at, what does it mean to shepherd your family well? What does it mean to be a shepherd in the workplace, in relationships with those that the Lord has brought into your life? There will also, hopefully, coming out of this, be a mentor-mentee kind of relationship for those that are looking for help with parenting as a father and help with marriage as a husband. So that class will be running starting in November. And then Holy Sexuality is going to take place January 26th through April 13th. So really kind of running up until Easter. This is going to be a long one that's going to be held down here. And this is going to be for everybody from City Stew all the way through adults. Besides the two Berean classes, Women's Bible Study and Explore the Bible, because again, those always run. This will be the only offering during that time, because we want everybody to be a part of this class. It'll be set up very much like this. We'll have a lot of tables, a lot of chairs, some video teaching, and then some good discussion time. So that's going to take place. So again, that's one of those classes that City Stew on up will be a part of. Oh, and we're hoping from that, parents, you will be sitting with your kids during that. We're not going to have like a youth group table, because it's important to have these conversations as a family. And then lastly, Tyrannus, Loving the Way Jesus Loves, which we'll come back to here in a second, is starting next week. And then Counterfeit Gospels, I'm going to have Shane come up. So Shane's going to explain what the Counterfeit Gospels class is all about. This is going to be another one where a youth group through adults is gonna, has the opportunity to go to.
All right. Hey, everybody. So our class, the Counterfeit Gospels, has a book. Are we going to be able to offer the book?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be able to offer the book, Counterfeit Gospels. If not, it's readily available on Amazon. What we're talking about when it comes to Counterfeit Gospels, the author Trevin Wax does a great job of talking about the gospel as a three-legged stool. So you have the gospel story, the gospel announcement, and the gospel communion. And each of these three legs make a stool by which we as believers in Jesus Christ can confidently sit up. The problem is that sometimes there are things in the world that come against these three different legs. He calls them termites. I don't know about you, I don't have a lot of experience with termites, maybe you do, but what do termites do?
Eat wood.
That's right, they eat wood. And unfortunately, our stool in this analogy that we're talking about is made out of wood. And if we're not careful, if we're not alert, if we don't do the preparation necessary, one of the legs will fall off and our stool will break. So there are six different termites we're gonna be looking at during our class together, as we look to see and establish what is our stool, how do we protect against that which is counterfeit, and how can we with confidence then help other people build the foundation of their life on the true gospel as opposed to that which is counterfeit. So when it comes to ideas of counterfeit gospel, these are things that go against the truth of what we believe in. This is not things that are secondary issues, these are primary issues. About heaven and hell, these are primary issues. About is Jesus the only way for salvation? These are big picture things that if we get wrong, we can't have confidence in the faith that we have, and our stool will fall apart. So, hope that you join us. Like Kyle said, it's going to be a class for everybody. We'll have books available. It'll be a great time.
Awesome.
Thank you, Shane.
All right. And then book club for the summer, just so you guys are aware, again, it's a long way off, but
we're going to do two books. We're going to do A Knowledge of the Holy throughout June by A.W. Tozer, and then a Bruce Reed Puritan preacher by the name of Richard Sibbes, July 6th through 27th. So those will be the two books coming up here this summer.
But we start next week, and so I want to say a couple quick things before I let our couple teachers come up and tell you about their class. One is we are going to start recording some, not all, of the Explore Hour classes. So if you're like, oh, bummer, both the classes I want to go to are at the same time. We are going to try to record at least some of the ones that we know people would like to have. And so we'll be posting these on our website, making them available through some other ways probably. So just so you know, we're going to try and record some of those. I asked Andrew Massengill to help with that. So those will be offered to you soon, including today is being recorded so that you can kind of go back if you want to hear anything about the classes. Now, here we go. First round of classes coming up next week. I already mentioned women's Bible study in Luke, but I'm going to ask Mark Strawn to come up. Mark is going to take us through his class. It's going to start actually, sorry, quick note on this. We're starting this one at 9:29, not next week. Okay, so if you do come for the Digging Up the Bible class, it will not be happening. We'll start on 9:29, but I'll let Mark take us through what this class is going to be about.
How you doing, everybody? Let me limp in here. What I'm going to be sharing with you is something I've been blessed with. I could never believe it because I always had an interest in archaeology when I was a youngster and then changed courses because my folks said there's no money in that. And they're probably right, but not so right anymore. There actually is a lot of money in archaeology lately. But nonetheless, in Albuquerque, I met a fellow named Dr. Collins a couple decades ago, and I've been, and it's developed into a discipling relationship, a very a blessed friendship I've had with him, and I've been able to go overseas and do some digging in the Holy Land, specifically Jordan. And it's helped me to come to understand my Bible in an unbelievably more accurate way, because the Bible is an ancient book, and it is not modern, and we should not read it with modern eyes. We need to read it with ancient eyes, and so with an ancient understanding, an ancient setting, and context. And so let me read this, though, because in the world of archaeology, and you probably all see it with the social media we have, it comes up on Facebook and different posts in archaeology, and so there's a lot of things going on that I want to help you with so that you don't stumble, and I'll let him in his book tell you a little bit about that. It's on page 320, and he says it so well. He says, because so many in the Christian community are naive when it comes to biblical archaeology, they remain vulnerable to spurious claims, half-truths, and hoaxes. Year in and year out, fabricated discoveries, everything from the Ark of the Covenant to chariot wheels in the Red Sea to Mount Sinai in Arabia to giant human skeletons, capture the imagination of Christians the world over. And when in the last third of the 20th century, ancient Near East archaeology began to turn its back on the Bible, an unfortunate situation resulted. Instead of countering with legitimate archaeology, much of Christendom developed an appetite for pseudo-archaeology and junk science offering sensational Bible-supporting discoveries. Today, specious Bible-proving claims persist, and unsuspecting Christians continue to believe them. Thankfully, this kind of truth-twisting is avoidable. But only when the Christian community embraces and supports reasonable archaeology. The historicity of the Bible does not need to be propped up by false evidence. Proper scientific archaeology is consistent with biblical history, and the archaeological pendulum is swinging back toward the historical authenticity of the Bible. Bible students are well advised to keep up with the pace of discovery in the legitimate archaeological arena. And so what my hope and prayer is that I'll be able to impart to those who choose to attend the class things that I have learned over the years in the land and in classroom situation. I'm in class with Trinity Southwest University that's based out of Albuquerque for the last 5 years, and will probably do that for the rest of my life, because the archaeological discoveries are coming fast and furious, and not all of them have been vetted. And unfortunately, as Dr. Collins, which I just read, you know, people go off and believe in something that actually has never been vetted. And so we're going to have fun. I'm going to bring artifacts in there. Both of the pastors said they support us, take us out to Jordan. maybe that's a stretch. But to a degree, it's not, because I never would have dreamed that I ended up in the Holy Land. And I there's a fellow out in Wheaton, Daniel Master, and he has a dig in Tel Shimron. I'll help you if you get interested in how to go do that. I'm actually thinking of going to his, because ours got shut down, but I'm also thinking of going to Jordan in the spring. So there will be a lot of opportunities, and I'll share all that stuff that I've learned over the years for those of you who are interested. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and then in the yellow room, we'll have Explore the Bible, again, the ongoing class. And finally, Ree's going to come up and share, and then we'll close on what's happening in the blue room, up in the upper level, on loving the way Jesus loves.
Yeah, well, quickly, if you remember the sermon that I gave, it was on 1 Corinthians 13. One of the most primary points that I pulled out was love is action and not as affection. And that I stole from a book. I wasn't as creative. It's called Loving the Way Jesus Loves. It's by Phil Ryken. His dad actually is Leland Ryken, who taught at Wheaton. Great book. Great. And it has a lot of things that really speak to Christian discipleship. One thing that he points out in the very first chapter is, there's nothing I need more in life than more of Jesus' love, or more of the love of Jesus. And that's kind of what we're trying to emphasize as a church and as a community that's built on the idea of love. And obviously the class is focused on 1 Corinthians 13, and it's going to parallel these different attributes of love and with the gospel and how Jesus represents it well. We're trying to ask the question, do we really understand the way Jesus loves? I think when we approach our different spheres, we think we do. And we'll look how Jesus does it, and it's often not as we think about it. It's an 8-week class split between, I don't know if you guys have met Daniel. If you haven't, he loves all your children, and he's taking care of them right now, Kyle and I. I wrote this down, which I really liked, so I'm going to say it anyway. It has nothing to do with the book, but Aristotle says a virtue is the middle ground between two vices. And when we look at love as perfection, as love represented by Jesus, we're looking at the middle ground between apathy, where you don't care and are very just disregarding of a person or a thing in life, and the other end of it is obsession, where something becomes your idol. And when you have that perfect middle ground, you tend to better understand how God is calling us to love. And that's how we plan on looking at how we can love the way Jesus loves. Yeah.
All right, so these are the classes that are starting next week. When you come, except for Digging Up the Bible, we'll start on the 29th. So again, if you're not gonna come next week because you plan on going to that class, that's fine, but you could also pop into the Women's Bible Study or Explore the Bible. 4 week, or check out Loving the Way Jesus Loves before you start that class. But those are the four that are going to be happening this fall, and then we'll keep coming up in the announcements and the pulse to let you know when these classes are going to switch to the next ones. So let me pray for us, and then we'll head upstairs.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to talk through the classes that we have coming up this year. These are classes that we believe are really important for each one of us individually, really important for us as a church to understand, to grasp, to see what your word says, to look at Jesus and the example that he left for us. We want to read our Bibles better. We want to understand more. We want to be challenged and corrected where we need it. And so I'm praying that these classes will do that in our lives and be an important kind of brick in that foundation, that continued building that happens in our life as we root ourselves in you, as we root ourselves in the faith. So we thank you for, again, the teachers that are going to be leading these classes this year, for everybody who's going to participate in them. And more than anything else, Lord, we love you and thank you for all that you have done for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.